Well, look who's here. Welcome. This is episode 313 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb. I'm your host, and I'm tickled to death that you're here with me today. Every Monday through Friday, I bring you two or three chapters of the Bible and a short devotional or commentary in about 10 minutes. We're reading through the Bible on three tracks. Track one is reading through the Old Testament. Track two is reading through the New Testament, and the third is reading through the books of poetry and wisdom. Each day alternates to one of those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Today we're on track three, which brings us back to the book of Job. We'll be reading chapters 11 through 13. We'll hear from Job's third visitor, and then Job will respond to his three friends, and finally Job will ask God a few questions. This week we're reading from the God's Word translation. Let's begin. Job chapter 11. Then Zophar from Naamah replied to Job, "Shouldn't someone answer this flood of words? Should a good public speaker be acquitted? Should your empty talk silence others so that you can make fun of us without any shame? You say, 'My teaching is morally correct,' and, as you can see, I'm innocent. I only wish God would speak and open his mouth to talk to you. He would tell you the secrets of wisdom, because true wisdom is twice as great as your wisdom, and you would know that God forgets your sin. Can you discover God's hidden secrets, or are you able to find the Almighty's limits? God's wisdom is higher than heaven. What can you do? It is deeper than the depths of hell. What can you know? It is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. If God comes along and imprisons someone and then calls a court into session, who can stop him? He knows who the scoundrels are. And when he sees sin, doesn't he pay attention to it? But an empty-headed person will gain understanding when a wild donkey is born tame. If you want to set your heart right, then pray to him. If you're holding on to sin, put it far away and don't let injustice live in your tent. Then you will be able to show your face without being ashamed, and you will be secure and unafraid. Then you will forget your misery and remember it like water that has flowed downstream. Then your life will be brighter than the noonday sun. The darkness in your life will become like morning. You will feel confident because there's hope, and you will look around and rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to frighten you, and many people will try to gain your favor. But the wicked will lose their eyesight. Their escape route will be closed. Their only hope is to take their last breath." Job chapter 12. Then Job replied to his friends, "You certainly are wise people, and when you die, wisdom will die. Like you, I have a mind. I'm not inferior to you. But who doesn't know these things? I am a laughingstock to my neighbors. I am one who calls on God and expects an answer. A man of integrity, a man who is righteous, has become a laughingstock. A person who has an easy life has no appreciation for misfortune. He thinks it is the fate of those who slip up. But robbers' tents are prosperous, and there is security to those who provoke God, for those whose God is their power. Instead, ask the animals, and they will teach you. Ask the birds, and they will tell you. Or speak with the earth, and it will teach you. Even the fish will relate the story to you. What creature doesn't know that the Lord's hands made it? The life of every living creature and the spirit in every human body are in his hands. Doesn't the ear distinguish sounds, and the tongue taste food? Wisdom is with the Ancient One. The one who has had many days has insight. God has wisdom and strength. Advice and insight are his. When he tears something down, it cannot be rebuilt. When he puts someone in prison, that person cannot be freed. When he holds back the waters, there is drought. When he releases them, they flood the earth. God has power and priceless wisdom. He owns both the deceiver and the person who is deceived. He leads counselors away barefoot and makes fools out of judges. He loosens kings' belts and strips them of their pants. He leads priests away barefoot and misleads those who serve in a temple. He makes trusted advisors unable to speak and takes away the good judgment of respected leaders. He pours contempt on influential people and unbuckles the belt of the mighty. He uncovers mysteries hidden in the darkness and brings gloom into the light. He makes nations important and then destroys them. He makes nations large and leads them away. He takes away the common sense of a country's leaders and makes them stumble about in a pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark with no light, and he makes them stumble like drunks. Job chapter 13. Job continues. My eye has certainly seen all of this. My ear has heard and understood it. After all, I know it as well as you do. I am not inferior to you. However, I want to speak to the Almighty, and I wish to argue my case in front of God. But you are smearing me with lies. All of you are worthless physicians. I wish you would keep silent. For you, that would be wisdom. Please listen to my argument and pay attention to my plea. Will you talk wickedly for God and talk deceitfully on his behalf? Will you favor him as if you were arguing in court on God's behalf? Will it go well when he cross-examines you? Will you try to trick him as one mortal tricks another? Will he really defend you if you secretly favor him? Doesn't his majesty terrify you? Doesn't the fear of him fall upon you? Your recollections are worthless proverbs. Your answers are absolutely useless. Be quiet, because I want to speak. Let whatever may happen to me happen. I am biting off more than I can chew and taking my life in my own hands. If God would kill me, I would have no hope left. Nevertheless, I will defend my behavior to his face. This also will be my salvation, because no godless person could face him. Job speaks to God. Listen carefully to my words. Hear my declaration. I have prepared my case. I know that I will be declared righteous. Who can make a case against me? If someone could, I'd be silent and die. Please don't do two things to me so that I won't have to hide from you. Stop oppressing me. Don't let your terror frighten me. Then call, and I'll answer. Otherwise, I'll speak, and you'll answer me. How many crimes and sins have I committed? Make me aware of my disobedience and my sin. Why do you hide your face from me and consider me your enemy? Are you trying to make a fluttering leaf tremble or trying to chase dry husks? You write down bitter accusations against me. You make me suffer for the sins of my youth. You put my feet in shackles. You follow my trail by engraving marks on the soles of my feet. I am like worn-out wineskins, like moth-eaten clothes. May God bless the reading of his word. In chapter 11, Zophar has had enough of what he considers to be just a rash of wordy nonsense. In essence, he accuses Job of running off at the mouth. He asks, "Just because you like to hear yourself talk, are we supposed to shut up?" And he accuses Job of saying things that he didn't say, like, "My teaching is morally correct, and, as you can see, I am innocent," neither of which was true. He did say that, "I am not wicked," but he also said, "I have sinned." I think that Zophar misunderstood Job, in part because of Job's somewhat and understandably emotional charge that God was cruel in his treatment of him. From verse 7 on, Zophar's words are pretty much accurate. God is beyond understanding. God can do as he pleases. And if you confess your sin, you will be forgiven and you will find peace. As chapter 12 opens, Job responds to his friends with sarcasm. "You are the keepers of wisdom. When you die, wisdom will die." Then he tells them that he is not inferior to them, and he reminds them where wisdom actually comes from God. In chapter 13, Job tells them that he understands what he has seen and heard, and he wants to talk to God. He tells them to be quiet because they're lousy doctors. And then he speaks to God. His prayer begins humbly. "Listen carefully. Hear what I have to say. I've thought about my case, and I think I'll be found righteous." And he asks God to stop oppressing him, and he asks him not to frighten him. Now, the next thing he says is a bit bold. He says to God, "Call and I'll answer, but if you don't, I'll speak and you'll answer me." I'm not sure I'd make that challenge to the one who holds the universe in his hand. But he proceeds to make his case to God, whom he is convinced has unjustly brought all these mishaps upon him. He thinks God is being unfair, and he wants an answer. When we're in the midst of suffering, our thinking can really get confused. It's hard to think clearly when we're in pain, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. That's one of the reasons God gave us His Word. It's meant to be the compass that guides us in the storms of life when we're unable to get our bearings from what we can see or think. When all seems hopeless, when it feels as if God is far away, His Word tells us that He does not change, that all things work together for those that are called, and that He is love. Those promises never change, despite any turmoil that we're in. Never judge any situation by what you feel. Feelings lie. The heart is a deceiver. God's Word is true. He is the rock of our salvation. I'd love to hear your comments. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 313.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at _SteveWeb_#LifespringMedia. Be sure you're subscribed to the show in your favorite podcast app, iTunes, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, whatever you like to use. That way you'll automatically get every show. Tomorrow we're back on track one, which takes us to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.